That's not up to me. Okay, here we go. We're on Daf Chof Aleph on the base, 21B. We just finished the Mishnah. Mishnah had two topics. And the Gemara is now going to... Now, the first part is in brackets. If you recall, the Mishnah said if a guy kept taking off and removing clothes... It's not on? I'm sorry. Okay, hang on. How about now?
Yeah.
If a man continues removing and putting on a shot in his garment, he gets lashed for each and every time he puts it on. Mm-hmm. Right? So, Amar Rav Bibi, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Bibi, in the name of Rav Yosef, says, when it says, poshet velovesh, when it says he continues to remove and put on, and he's being warned to take it off, really means... Is it lovesh mamish? Does he actually have to take the garment off and then put it on? Does he literally take it off and put it on? Or maybe, perhaps, afilu machnis umotzi beis yad unkeli shalo. Or how about if he's liable, even if he merely slips his arm in and out of the shatness shirt, and that's enough. And he doesn't have to do the entire taking off the whole shirt and putting on the whole shirt. What if he just... undoes the sleeve and puts the sleeve back on. Would that also be considered that? Okay. So, Machvi, Ravacha, Breder of Ika, Ravacha, the son of Ika, demonstrated to his students what it is you got to do. Iuli, Vafuki, slipping in and out. Okay. So, according to Rivan, he explains that Ravacha demonstrated the complete removal and donning of a garment. He held, according to the Rivan, he said he took his whole shirt off and put it on. According to the Rashbam, Ravacha just slipped his arm in and out. That's all you need. So it's a machlokas in the Rishonim exactly what he showed him. Because the word just says he showed him. Slipped it in and slipped it off. What did he slip in and slip off? Just the sleeve or the whole garment. So that was one position. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, opposing position, Afilu lo shaha elakede lilba lishvot velilbosh. Even didn't remove the garment at all, but he stood still, following each warning the time it would take to take the garment off and not. Also, chayav, he is chayav. In other words, for during each such segment, he's regarded as putting the garment on and again. Okay, so all this is, you warn him, let's say it takes you 5 seconds to take it off and to put it back on. 10 seconds, whatever. So if he warns you every 10 seconds and you keep it on, you have a problem. Now, there's a major problem with this interpretation. What's the problem? Let's take a look. It says, wait a minute, don't we have a rule you don't get lashed for a lav she'ein bo ma'isa? If you don't do an action... Mm-hmm. And you transgress, you don't get lashed. You have to do an action. So putting it on is an action. But just leaving it on, so the first time you could lash him. But 10 seconds later, when you warn him, he doesn't do anything. He hasn't done anything. So why does he get lashed? So Tosfos answers that since the beginning of the wearing the shatness was through an action, because he put it on the first time. Mm-hmm. Right, so now passively continuing to wear it is like the action, because it's the result of an action, as opposed to other things. Let's say, for example, you're not keeping nosar, having the korban stay overnight. Remember, we say no, do that. You don't get lashed for that because you didn't do anything. Because you didn't do anything to begin with or to end with. Here, he did something. He put it on. So that action of putting on, the effect of the action continues. You see? So if it's a law where the Torah said don't do a certain thing, that's more of a you have to do something and you didn't do it, then you're not going to get lashed for it.
But Rabbi, does it have to be worn before the first time he put
it on?
Be
worn, yes.
Before the first time he put it on.
Well, no, because not really, because the fact that result of his action is still that it's on him.
Mm-hmm.
So saying that which you, the fact that it is that he is wearing shatness, you cannot wear shatness unless you did an action to put yourself in that position.
Right. So even if you warn him after wearing it,
Yeah.
You should remove it.
Now, go remove it. If you're not removing it, you're allowing the initial action to remain intact.
Right. Yeah, they didn't know.
That's as opposed to what we're saying, a lav she'ein bo maisa, the Torah says, don't leave anything over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, leaving anything over, by definition, is not an action. Right? You didn't do an action, just left it over. That's a lav she'ein bo maisa. You don't get lashed for that. So similarly, but not similarly, here, the only way he got himself into trouble was by putting it on to begin with. Okie dokie. Now we go back to that last part of the Mishnah that said, if a person, by the two dots now, plows a furrow, and we said it's possible to transgress 8 prohibitions. Remember?
Yeah.
8 prohibitions. The kilayim, the two animals together shouldn't be there, right? Each one was a hektish animal. It was on Yom Tov, whatever. All 8 transgressions he was doing there. So this is going to take up the bulk of the discussion all the way to the next page. Okay, and the Gemara is going to basically ask, first there's going to be a general statement made, and then the Gemara brings it back to our Mishnah. About the prohibition of planting kilayim, planting a forbidden mixture of crops. Amar Rabbi Yanai, bechabura, at the convention. You know, rabbis have conventions too. They get together to discuss halacha. Nimnu v'amar, they voted and they decided. So that's talking about a special day when Torah scholars convened. Okay? We're told it's post Mishnayik Tanoim, who met to clarify ambiguous sections of Mishnah. So they decided the following halacha: Hachoyfe bikilayim loike. Now you figure the prohibition of planting mixtures of different
seeds
is when you plant it,
right?
Like you transgress it, you put a vegetable seed and a grape seed, you plant them right next to each other, you are chayiv. That's true, but it's more than this. Even if, let's say, they already are, somebody else put them in the ground, and you're just covering the seeds with earth, okay, you already get lashed for planting. Because covering the mingled seeds is the same thing as planting it in the ground. The Chazon Ish suggests that the novel teaching is where the mingled seeds would have taken root and grown even without being covered by earth. Otherwise, it would be obvious that covering them constitutes sowing, right? So let's say the two seeds happen to be next to each other. They would have grown anyway together. But you now cover it up with earth. That also transgresses. That's what they decided at the convention. Okay? So now, Omar Lohen Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said to the conventioners, what are you guys telling us that we didn't know already? You used to come to the convention, you're clarifying things we wouldn't have understood. He says, Lav Mishnah Seinu. Isn't that an express Mishnah? What did you tell us we didn't know? Which says, and that's our mission. Now that brings us into our Mishnah. The Yesh Chayresh Telem Echad. It's possible person to plow a single furrow. The Chayv Lo Mishim Shmona Lavim. You're Chayv for 8 transgressions. And we said what it was. He's just repeating the Mishnah now, which is Hachayrish, you're plowing Bishor b'chamor, an ox and a donkey, v'hei muktashi, they're saying v'kilayim b'kerem, and there's kilayim in the vineyard. Okay? Now, that didn't say the whole thing, but he's saying the first, that's the situation. So now, what exactly did he do exactly that he's chayv for kilayim? So Hachayrish, that plowing that you want to say the mechayv shum kilayim, you're chayv for kilayim, how do you transgress planting kilayim just by plowing? Heichi mishkaches lo. How are you chayv for it? The Torah forbids sowing. You can't sow, you can't plant the vineyard and with mixed seeds. Plowing is not a problem. What's the problem with plowing? Must. So how do you transgress? I mean, where are the seeds? The answer is, must be, he's plowing, and when you're plowing, what happens to the earth?
It
moves up, and there were some seeds right next to it. When you're plowing, you're not planting seeds. And plowing, plowing is not the prohibition of planting a mixture. Plowing is you're just plowing the ground. You don't plow when there's seeds there. Must be plowed a furrow. The sand goes to the sides. And in the side, there were a couple seeds over there. And that's the point. Love, isn't it? Because the mixe behedjid also. It's that they were covering the mingled seeds with the plow. So that's the case the Mishnah is telling us. So what are you adding? So he gives you one of these great Talmudic expressions. Amar lei, so Rav Yana justified the need for them to say it. He says, Ilav didlailoch kaspa, if I had not lifted a shard for you, that's a piece of earthenware that's broken. Had I not lifted the shard, Mimashkachas Margonisa Tuso, would you have found the pearl that's lying underneath? You know, the expression is you have a pearl, you have a shard. Yeah. So if a person just picks up the shard, notice that. So when I pick up the shard, am I telling you there's a pearl underneath?
No,
I'm revealing to you there's a pearl. So it's the same thing. So when you learned that Mishnah, you would not have necessarily understood that's what the Mishnah was saying. Had I not taught that the plower is liable for kilayim on the ground, that he's covering the seeds, is tantamount to sowing, you would have thought that he is liable for maintaining kilayim, and that he saw it growing while he was plowing and did not uproot it, as you'll see in a minute. Maybe there's another, that we're going to see in a minute, there's a rabbi who holds that if you see kilayim growing in your field and you don't do anything about it, you also transgress. Okay, that's called maintaining, because you're supposed to uproot it. Okay, so now you would have thought maybe that's why you're chayev. So I've revealed to you what it is, right? So that I did tell you something. So don't tell me what did I teach you? And Amar le Reish Lakish le Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan to say, yeah, you're right. I agree with what you said. Ilav de kilscha gavrav, if a great man had not praised you by agreeing with you that the Mishnah's kilayim is done by this way from that, you're right. Had he not said that, havamina masnisim, I would have thought the Mishnah is teaching me the different halacha, like Rabbi Akiva. Domer hamakayim kilayim loke, that only if you maintain kilayim, you get lashed. Okay? And therefore, you see, we could have misinterpreted the Mishnah. Okay, so this is what Rav Shlokish tells Rav Yochanan. I could have thought that when the Mishnah holds the plower liable for kilayim, it's because he follows the dissenting opinion of Rav Akiva, who holds that one is liable for maintaining kilayim. And we would presume that those Tanaim who argue with Rav Akiva and exempt for maintaining kilayim would exempt also for covering kilayim as well. Okay? However, now that Rav Yana has agreed with you that covering seeds of kilayim is tantamount to sowing them, we could say the Mishnah reflects the opinion of all Tanaim, as you, Rav Yochanan, stated. For since Rav Yana said one who covers kilayim receives malchus, and did not say one who maintains kilayim receives malchus, we can infer that he regards covering as a more culpable activity than maintaining. That's more of a form of planting. And who's this? And that's shot in our Mishnah. And my Rabbi Akiva, who is Rabbi Akiva, who says maintaining is also not allowed? The Tanya is a brisa that says, Hamenache, someone who pulls out weeds. Vamachafen, someone who covers seeds. Big kilayim with kilayim. Now pulling out weeds helps with the growth, right? Or covering seeds, loke, that's the Tanya. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, af mekayim, even one who just maintains it. So you see, there is such an opinion that even maintaining. So therefore, I reveal to you that's not shot in our Mishnah. The rabbis on our Mishnah are saying you're only chayv because by the plowing you covered it up. Now, parenthetically, what's the reason for Rabbi Akiva? The Mishnah doesn't seem, the pasuk doesn't say you're chayv for maintaining. The pasuk says you're chayv for sowing. So where does he bring maintaining into sowing? I can understand covering up with dirt, that's like sowing. But just looking at it and doing nothing and maintaining, why? What would be the source in the pasuk? How does he learn the pasuk? So my time at Rabbi Akiva, what's the reason, Rabbi Akiva? The Tani, the price is the following. Look at the wording of the pasuk. You see the wording is very unusual. It says, Sodcha lo sizra kilayim. Your field do not sow with kilayim. Okay, here's the whole pasuk. Hemtecha lo serbia kilayim. Your animal should not mate with kilayim. Sodcha lo sizra kilayim. You should not sow your field. You shall not sow with kilayim. Okay, so we're talking about a kilayim field. Now, ain liela. So from that simple reading, it says lo sizra elozorea planting. How can I infer that maintaining is also chayv? The pasuk says plant, doesn't say maintain. So he says, look at the unusual wording, Talmud Lomar. Because what is the pasuk then? It says like this. It says behem techalos sarbia, your animal you shall not mate kilayim. Now kilayim would be the end of that clause as kilayim, as a forbidden mixture, right? Sodcha lo sizra kilayim, and your field you shall not sow kilayim. Now the words kilayim, see the first time it says behemcha lo sarbia, it could have said something like behemcha lo sarbia and sodcha lo tazria kilayim.
Yeah,
but kilayim go on both clauses. But the fact that they put kilayim at the end of the animals not mating, and at the before the pasuk of the field, so when juxtaposing the words kilayim in your field, it's like kilayim in your field low, no, which indicates that one's forbidden even to allow kilayim in his field. Let's see the next one. The Torah could have worded the verse more straightforwardly. Behem, he's saying like this: behem techa bikilayim lo sarviya. Animals that are kilayim, don't mix them together. Why did it say behem tcha lo serbia kilayim? Why are you putting kilayim at the end of the pasuk? By shifting where kilayim into the juxtaposition with sodcha, the Torah indicates that we're to read the three words kilayim sodcha lo. Okay? Kilayim sodcha lo together for the aforementioned exegetical purpose. So therefore, when it's saying behem tcha lo serbia kilayim, now we'll take the last word, kilayim. Kilayim sod chalo. So in other words, by putting that last word, kilayim, it should have put it, behem tcha kilayim lo serbia, stop. Then, your field, you shall not plant kilayim. But by putting kilayim at the end of the first clause, and therefore coming right before the second clause, it's saying, kilayim sod chalo. It's also saying there shouldn't be any kilayim in your field. Then it says, lo sazria don't sow. But by putting word kilayim before sod chalal, it's saying your field should not have kilayim, period. And just leaving it like that would be a problem. That was his drasha. Therefore, Rav Yanai, Rav Yochanan, they're saying, our Mishnah says you're chayiv for kilayim, you're just putting the earth over, and the Mishnah does not hold like Rabbi Akiva that maintaining would make the prohibition. Okay, that ends that little part. Now the next page or so, the Gemara is going to question. It says, well, for doing this whole activity, you get 8 lashes. There's 8 different areas to do. So Gemara is going to ask the question, I think you could have more than 8.
Okay.
You could have more than 8. Why are you only saying 8? If you're saying 8, but maybe there's another possibility for more. And so why are you not saying more? So this becomes the central theme to the bottom of the page and halfway through the top of the next page. Amalei Ula Rav Nachman. Rav Ula says to Rav Nachman, now that we're saying that covering the seeds is like sowing, as the convention decided, based on what you're saying now, so let's think about this. If you had not said that, and we would have thought just maintaining it, like Rabbi Akiva would have been the reason for lash, I wouldn't ask this next question, he's saying. But now you're telling me that covering... So now we got something very interesting. If that's the case, so now we got a 9th prohibition, which is what? Velil kinami mishum zoreya b'yomtev. Now, aren't you planting on yomtev? We said plowing, you're plowing. Right? The case was you were plowing. So he said, yeah, you're chayav for plowing on yomtev. But you understand now that you're plowing it, but the earth goes from the plowing onto the seeds, You now, while you're plowing, you're also leading to planting and sowing on Yom Tov, which itself is a prohibition. Forget about the fact you're sowing kilayim, which is a prohibition. You're sowing on Yom Tov, which is a prohibition. So that should be the episode. If we were learning not like that, like Rabbi Akiva, that says just by leaving it there you transgress. Well, then who said you put any sand, dirt on the kilayim? But now you say no, he's chayav for planting kilayim because the earth is going on top of it. So if that's the case, you're planting on Yom Tov. So that should be up a very number 9. Why didn't you mention 9? So he gives an answer. Amarle, Rav Nachman says to Ula, Tana v'shayer. You know, it's not unusual. Mishnah often omits things. They don't say every single thing. Well, see, if Mishnah says you're chayav for this, you're chayav for this, you're chayav for this. What about that? Well, we don't mention everything. We're not a salesman. We sell everything. That's a general answer, but here you can't say that answer. Amar Leih says you can't say that answer here. You know why? Because Tana Kitani Shmona. Because the author of Mishnah said 8. When a Mishnah just lists a bunch of cases without starting with a number, he says this is what you're going to be chayav for. They list 1 case, 2 case, 3 case, 4 case. Well, it could be there were more. He just don't want to list them all. But if he says these are the 8 cases, there are 8 cases. I mean, 8 and not more than that. So you can't give me the standard answer. Well, he meant more, but you don't have to say them all. So we're out. So when the Tana says 8, and you want to suggest Vadomart Tana v'Shayer, the Tana left others out, that's not customary. When a guy says 8, he means 8. Because if there's 9, he would have said 9. So therefore, it's a problem. Why do we not add this? So now we have to come up with an answer now. So why do we not say 9? So this is a fascinating answer. Let's say it outside. We know on Shabbos, there's halacha, there's 39 different prohibited activities on Shabbos. So now, so if let's say I do activity number 1, I am, let's say very simple, I'm going to my backyard and I am plowing. Okay, that's activity number 1. And they warn you about this. Well, let's say you didn't know you weren't allowed to do it on Shabbos, so you have to bring a korban chatas for it. Okay, what about that after you plowed, now you planted? Okay, well, I'll do the second one. So I was going to be 2 korban chatases for that. Okay? And let's say the guy did 39 different activities on Shabbos without knowing it was Shabbos. He has to bring 39 korban chatas. There's a concept. Even though it's only 1 prohibition, you can't do work on Shabbos. It's a chiddush, but I can't do work on Shabbos. So what if the guy figures, okay, I can't do work on Shabbos, but I guess I could do this. I mean, this isn't really working. I'm having a good time planting in my garden. The guy thinks, work. I don't go to work. I don't go downtown to work. But I'm relaxing. I'm in my garden. I'm plowing a little bit. I'm planting a little bit. That's enjoyable. So even though there's 1 prohibition not working, but there's 39 specific activities, you could be chayav for each and every one of the 39. Now, the Gemara assumed in the question here that the same... Now, on Yom Tov, you also can't do work on Yom Tov. Gemara assumes that the same way it is for Shabbos is the same way it is for Yom Tov. If I do 39 different activities on Shabbos, then I get bring a korban chatas of each one. So I guess if I do 39 prohibited activities on Yom Tov, would work the same way. He's going to say it's not so. On Yom Tov, it doesn't work that way. On my Rava answers, Yesh Chiluk Malachas B'Shabbos. We do separate the different Malachas on Shabbos, right? And therefore, he has to bring 2 Korban Chatas or more. But the Ein Chiluk Malachas B'Yom Tov. But we don't say this rule by Yom Tov, which means... Now, by Yom Tov, it's different. It's not Korban Chatas. By Yom Tov, it can be deliberate. Remember, Machal Yom Tov is not the same as Chal Shabbos. Chal Shabbos, okay. If one deliberately performs several different malachas on Yom Tov, he's liable to only 1 set of lashes. This law applies where he received only 1 warning before performing a series of malachas, or even where he received distinct warnings but performed the different malachas in a single act. In a single act. On Shabbos, there's a whole dispute regarding the source. Okay, I don't want to go into the details, but we don't say that by Yom Tov. Plain and simple, we don't say that by Yom Tov in 1 act. So therefore, that's not a question. On Shabbos, you could get for 1 act more than 1, but not for Yom Tov. Okay, fine. Amarlay. So you want to say, okay, Amarlay. So Ula concedes the point. Okay, he concedes the point.
So we're not going to find out why Yom Tov is different?
Well, we want to get into it. It's very complex.
It's complicated. Okay.
Well, it's complicated. I don't want...
Okay.
Just leave it at that. It's,
right.
We could do it, but it's very complex. Ooh. We don't do it. So now, Adot Tehei, so this shall be the reason the mission does not list plowing and sowing on Yom Tov as two separate transgressions. So fine. So okay, Adot Tehei. So let it be that way, that we didn't list plowing and sowing as separate things. Fine. But Rava's explanation is still, we have a question anyway. So Eisve Abaye, but Abaye responds back. He says, what are you talking about? Ve'ein chilek malav siyantos? Do you think that Tanaim really hold that position? That we don't give separate malachas for yontif? Now he's going to mention a Mishnah that does. That does. You want to answer me, well, we don't give separate punishments for the one action, not for two different malachas for Yom Tov as opposed to Shabbos, but now I'm going to show you Mishnah that does give the guy two punishments for actions on Yom Tov by the following deduction. Remember, it's a deduction. It's not so overt, but he's assuming the deduction. And if you see you get two punishments for doing on Yom Tov, then it should be over here too. And what's the case over here? Hamavashel gid bechalav biyantav. Okay, what does the guy do? He cooks a gid hanasha. The gid hanasha is the part of the sinew that's supposed to be removed from the animal's thigh. You're not allowed to eat that one. Now, what do you do with it? Now, it's also, the question is, it's also meat. So now a guy cooks the gid hanasha with milk on yantav. Okay. And he eats it.
Yep.
Now the question is, how many lashes do you get?
Four or five.
He's warned. The guy says, I'm going to cook myself some good ghee and milk, and I'm going to eat it. The guy says, don't do that. So let's see how many lashes you're going to get. What could you think?
Four.
Okay, tell me what you think. Tell me what they are. Number
so
one is
the
eating the gid. You can't eat the gid straight up. One.
Cooking
meat and milk together is two. Eating meat and milk together is three.
And on Shabbat. On Yom Tov.
You cooked it on Yom Tov is four.
Let's say he makes the fire.
Loka Chamesh, you get five lashes.
Why?
He gets lashed for eating the gid. You're allowed to cook, but shalol tzarech. You're not allowed to cook things you don't need for yontif. You can cook on yontif. Here's a good example. Are you allowed to invite non-Jews to your house on yontif for a meal?
So
the answer is no.
Even on Shabbat, you're not.
Shabbos is different. Shabbos, you are.
On Shabbat, you are.
Yontif, not. Why? Because on yontif, you may cook for the non-Jew.
Right.
And you're not allowed to because there's no need. You can't cook. You can cook on Yom Tov only a direct Yom Tov need for you, the Jew. But if there's no need to cook it, you're not allowed to cook it. You follow? So let's say you're cooking up food that you never got.
You cooked everything before Yom Tov.
Then you're not cooking for them. But in the olden days, you cooked on Yom Tov.
Yes.
So of course, you're not going to invite a goy because you're cooking for the goy as well.
Yes.
So now, if I'm cooking a forbidden mixture that I'm not allowed to eat, are you allowed to do such cooking? That's cooking not allowed. So although you normally can cook on Yom Tov, but you can't cook on Yom Tov, you're not going to eat. So that's the second one. You're also loka because you're cooking the gid, which is meat, in milk. And you're lashed also for eating meat and milk.
That's four.
What's number five? The one we didn't think of. Mishum Havara, for kindling the fire unnecessarily. Right? Since the fire was made to cook a forbidden food, the kindling was not for Yom Tov purposes, and so it constituted forbidden labor. Now let's think about this. How many yontif transgressions did he transgress?
Two.
Yontif. Yontif. Yeah. But what you just said before, at the, if you do it at the same time, you don't get
you don't
two.
Get
now you see you get two.
Yes.
The Imi side, if you're going to hold that you don't get lashed for doing two yontif things at the same time, so Mishum Havara Lo Mechayev, he shouldn't be chayev for kindling on yontif because the ha-chayev lay Mishum Bishula, because you made him chayev for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be chayev for both. You just told me why we said eight and not nine. By the plowing and the planting on yontif, because you don't get two for one on yontif. Here you get two for one on yontif. So really, that brisa didn't tell you what the five were. It just said five, right? So he says, guess what? Let's take one of those out and put a different one in to make five. Apik of our, let's take out kindling. The Isle Gira Nosha Shel Nevela. Let's say it was a Gira Nosha of Nevela that was not shechted properly. And that, if it's not shechted properly, now we've added a different one for that. So that'll make it five. The Gemara says it can't do that. For Hatani, Rav Chia, when Rav Chia analyzed the Brisa, he tells you what the five are broken down as. The Brisa says five. So we say, let's say it's these five instead of the five you thought. So no, because Rav Chia understands the five to be broken down. You get two for eating, v'shalosh bishul, and three for cooking. So now you're going to make it three for eating and two for cooking, because you're saying giranasha instead of the cooking. The isa, but according to you, shalosh alachilaso hu chayv, you're chayv for three eatings, so that won't work. So we got a problem. So he said, okay, I'll change it. Elafigar, let's take out the kindling. Va'ayil atzi asher, and you were using the wood of an asher of idol worship that you're not allowed to benefit from. And that's the excerpt. The kindling was with an asherah tree that you're not allowed to benefit from. That's what it is. And that we know. And the warning for that is, Vasarta Mehacha, and the warning against using such wood is from V'loyidcha B'choy, you're not allowed to have any of what they have over there. So that's what we answered. So we've answered why we don't have the plowing on yontif, because it'll be two yontif things. You don't get lashed for two yontif things. We answered the question from the other place. Tomorrow, the Gemara is going to ask another way. Let's say it's nine for another reason.
Mm.
We're going to go back. We're not finished yet. Okay, you got out of that one, but I can think of another ninth. That's going to be the discussion tomorrow.
Oh.